Chapter 16. Moon Boy Speaks. I put the two balalaikas in the padded boxes I'd made for them, and set the Vermeer book and the Shakespeare and Amichai and Cummings poems into the titanium suitcase. I'd done a laundry in the middle of the night, unable to sleep, and padded the books with clean folded clothes I would never want to wear again. What were the actual odds that we were about to become dead heroes rather than inconvenient witnesses? Small but finite, as a mathematician would say. We really knew nothing about current politics. When President Gold had been Professor Gold, Paul said he taught medieval history, Machiavelli and the Medici, the Borgias. He could make them seem like current events, Paul said. Maybe current events then and now were not so far removed from those good old days. We hadn't been publicly interviewed yet. That was disturbing, but they had let us talk to relatives, so they couldn't be claiming that we didn't make it back. Assuming people did talk to their relatives and not to VR constructions, Cesare Borgia would have liked that little tool. While they couldn't really claim the Ad Astra hadn't returned, what's left of our iceberg is still bigger than the Hilton, and you can see that in the sky all over the Pacific, brighter than the Pole Star. Of course, when we got off the lander, we'd go straight into biological isolation. No telling what kind of bug we might be bringing back from the others. Though a bug that thrived in liquid nitrogen might find human body temperature a little too warm. And there had been nothing alive on the planet, home, to infect us. If Spy had told the truth. We might have been infected with something accidentally or on purpose. Spy was an artificial organism designed to interface with humans. But then so were the Martians. And they had carried the pathogen for the juvenile pulmonary cysts that gave the colonists such trouble. I should have asked about Israel. Find out whether the country I worked for all my life still exists. My notebook didn't pull any new information about anything, which was not necessarily suspicious. 50-year-old hardware and software. But it would be nice to find out some information about the world that hadn't been handed to us by handlers. I should be grateful for a few more hours of blissful ignorance and obscurity. The idea of celebrity is not compatible with my choice of career, and thus with my personality. Not that I will ever be a spy again, whatever Israel is or is not today. Maybe I'll take up music, seriously. Practice several hours a day. That would keep Dustin out of the house. My notebook pinged in my personal tone. Funny, the only people with that number were close enough to come knock. I thumbed it, though, and an image of Moonboy appeared.
I trust I have your attention.
Moonboy?
Yes and no.
There was a short transmission delay.
This signal is coming from the moon, but Moonboy is not there. This is a sentient cartoon. The signal is an encrypted and filtered tight beam that only you, Namir, can receive and decode.
Okay, what's up?
This cartoon has detected that you are not on Earth.
That's right, we're in orbit, near...
You must land on Earth as soon as possible. Leave space by midnight, Greenwich time, April 23. Tell no one that I talk to you.
Not even other...
Midnight, April 23.
The screen went blank. I asked it for the source, and it said, Luna near Clavius. Midnight, on the 23rd, would be 7 p.m., April 22nd in New York, 4 p.m. in the Mojave Desert. We'd be landing that morning if things went according to plan. Best make sure things do go according to plan. There was no way to interpret that message other than ominously. I could use a drink, maybe something stronger than wine. I opened the door, pulled myself up the trellis, and floated over the arbor toward the warehouse. Paul and Carmen were already there. They turned and looked at me without saying anything. "Let me guess," I said. "You just got a message that you're not supposed to share."
"From a person who died 25 years ago."
Paul tossed me a squeeze bottle with brown liquid. "I think we better do as he says." "Scotch flavor, pretty harsh." "Yeah," I coughed. "Almost a day to spare. If the lander works, and Earth doesn't screw things up."
I wished there was some way to pour a drink over ice in zero G. What if they say they can't be ready by that time? I've landed these things on gravel beds on Mars, and the lunar regolith with no ground support. If it's working, I can find someplace flat, but then we'd have to explain why we left early.
Life support emergency, Carmen said. Or a medical emergency. Hard to fake.
Snowbird drifted over.
A Martian medical emergency. There is probably no one on Earth who could say I wasn't sick.
Upside down, she bumped against the couch and righted herself.
In fact, I probably will be with all the gravity and oxygen. California heat.
A turnaround, we'd suggested leaving her on Little Mars, and it was the closest we'd ever seen her come to losing her temper. She was going to be the first Martian to swim in an ocean or die trying.
Dustin and Elsa joined us, then Merrill.
Maybe we should tell people, Merrill said. They're obviously planning something dramatically destructive in space.
Carmen disagreed vigorously.
The last time we broke a promise of secrecy, the others almost destroyed the planet in retribution. And we've seen what they did to their own home because it posed a threat.
Putting two and two together, I said, or one and one, I assume they've learned about the fleet and are going to destroy it within Moonboy's time frame.
We could save some of them, Merrill said.
Paul pointed out that we had no idea of how many there were.
If they actually did build the fleet up to the planned 1,000 strong and they're in a defensive array between the Earth and the Moon, if they all suddenly withdraw, I said, the others will know we betrayed them, and strike immediately.
If the fleet are warriors, I did not say. Warriors have to be ready to die.
Paul shook his head slowly. The logistical problem, landing 1,000 ships would be impossible if you had a week, 20 hours? And I wonder how many people are in orbit who aren't in fleet ships, Carmen said. Little Mars, Little Earth, the Hilton, all those new structures, surely hundreds at least.
Maybe they wouldn't be in danger, Merrill said, not being part of the fleet.
He didn't say anything about that, Paul said. Leave space and go to Earth. That doesn't leave much room for interpretation. And even if you warned the people here in Little Mars and so forth, what could they do? You might be able to cram 100 into all the space elevators, but in 20 hours, they wouldn't be anywhere close to Earth. They'd still be in space.
I wondered where Spy would draw the line between space and not space. Never in all my unpleasant space experiences had I so fervently wanted to have my feet on solid ground.